9.3 Nigeria Info is 7:32 from our studios. Welcome to the second part of Dailies Today. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disso. Good morning.
Yes, we are live right now on Facebook and on YouTube, so feel free to go and join us on those two platforms. We're going to start with the Punch newspaper. We're going to start with this story here on page 2. Sudan conflict, students lament slow evacuation, FG to pay $1.2 million.
This emphasis on the money again, and the emphasis on the money, what it does is that it makes more people want to dive into the fray and take advantage. Anyway, good morning everybody. This is a development on the story that we carried yesterday, and it says that from the post, the second paragraph says that although the federal government had 40 buses, okay, which we were told yesterday, only 10 buses were available on Wednesday morning. There we go again, Nigerian factor. While additional 5 buses were provided later in the day. When I heard we hired 40 buses, given the distance and the situation, I thought all the 40 buses would be available and they will move in one convoy under military support. Apparently, that did not happen. And Onyema, the foreign affairs minister, who I respect so much, claimed that the federal government had been charged $1.2 million for the evacuation of Nigerian nationals out of Sudan. I wonder why is the Nigerian use of evacuation that you'll always see money being... When I saw stories about the Americans, the British, nobody said anything about the money. You know, but Nigerian factor, you know. Okay, but so they've rescued some of them. They're going to be escorted to Egypt, you know. And we still have 5,500 are the Nigerians in number that are supposed to be evacuated. But the frightened students informed the Punch correspondent on Wednesday afternoon that scores of them were still stranded in Khartoum as only 15 buses conveying some of their colleagues out of Sudan. Only 15 buses have conveyed, leaving others in limbo and fear. And the Punch reports that the students' apprehension was not unconnected with the unpredictable situation in Sudan and the fact that the 3-day ceasefire declared by the two parties expires today, Thursday. Okay, so that is what that there's a female student that is lamenting, a female student in the pharmacy department of the Sudan International University said that the ceasefire is just for Tuesday and Wednesday, and if you do not leave this place today, I do not know what will become of us. The buses are not complete for now. Also, the president of the Jigawa State Students Association disclosed that the available vehicles were not sufficient to convey the students, noting that they were jostling to board the few buses on ground. And, of course, the minister says that he doesn't know why they haven't put in some kind of arrangement where, for example, women and children would go first. Apparently, when the bus arrived, you know, every man for himself and God for us all. All said and done, we still have a deficit to handle under situations today that might not be too pleasant.
Right.
So they do need our prayers. I don't know whether it's something that we can ever change. For us to be prepared and have a sense of arrangement for things like this, I honestly don't know. But these things become so embarrassing. I mean, other countries have gone, they've long gone, but we are still right in the middle of it. The operation is not too tidy. I had thought that like I said, that the buses, you know, the buses would be on ground and they'd all move together. Now we don't know the fate of those who are left behind. Okay, there's also the issue of some Nigerian students who had obtained Sudanese citizenship. You know, and there's some, so that might also be a bit of a complication, unless, of course, maybe they have dual nationality. But all said and done, I think they just need our prayers to survive the challenges that face them.
Indeed. Let's go to the Punch newspaper here. We have a spread In the inside page, pages 4-5, Lagos State Government begins demolition of illegal buildings on Banana Island.
Well, it's better late than never, and we're glad that this is happening. Apparently, some of the... Look at the buildings there, Sheriff. Mm-hmm. Look at them. Mm-hmm. Tall buildings, you know. The exercise was carried out by officials of the Lagos State Building Control Agency, Lagos State Environmental and Special Offences Unit, and Lagos State Physical Planning Permit Authority. The team was also led by the leadership of the agencies, which include Bolahan Oki of Lasbika, and Task Force Chairman Jeje Loye. According to a statement by the Minister of Information, the affected buildings were in contravention of Lagos State Urban and so on and so forth. And of course, they now add all the official thing in line with this and in line with that. Bottom line is, who owns these buildings? You see, we need to make examples of people who flout the law. As every building can be identified easily at the land registry. And I think the onus lies on government to let us know who these people that are, that are contravening the land laws and building codes and so on and so forth. We need to know who they are. Until you name and shame and make a complete example of these people, it will continue. This is a panic measure just to cover up for, the one or two events that have taken place quite recently. Okay, after a month, if you're not careful, it will be business as usual. The part I can't understand is why the government is always ready to... Well, I can understand, but officially I don't. And I don't think anybody wants to understand whatever reasons. I can understand because it's usually the elite. I mean, hey, Sheriff, you get money to buy something in Banana Island. Mm-hmm. Of course not. Mm-hmm. What is it now? The Lord moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform.
I'm all ready for his mysterious ways. I'm very ready. Lord, please. Be mysterious.
You know, these are friends of government, to put it bluntly. You might just be surprised who owns some of these buildings. But we must be ready to enforce the law, name and shame as a deterrent. No matter how tight and draconian the laws you put in place, if you don't enforce them, including naming and shaming, this is what you are going to get. Because apparently, some of them have even built, it says here, the Governor Sanwo-Olu said the site of the collapsed building was not originally part of the island plan. I mean, look at that brazen whatever. Not part of the island plan and you're building. And look at these structures, man. Look, before you know it, you'll be asking luxury flats in this thing, $5,000 a month and so on and so forth. Okay? So we need to know, sir, who are these people? They must have a name. Some of the other buildings that have gone down, apart from the one in which the owner died, okay, you haven't given us information as to who they are. The one that happened in Oniru sometime last year, no information. No information at all. I can't remember anybody that has been prosecuted for these contraventions.
Yeah.
Which, ironically, lead to the loss of human lives. So you are looking at minimum manslaughter charges for some of them. And yes, we don't want to do that. You remember, I said that yesterday, the commissioner was there and was dribbling about not wanting to tell us who owned what. It's a shame, really. But I think unless we do that, there will be more of this. There definitely will be more of this. And there's a second story here that says that the panel demands information. The Lagos State Government has called on stakeholders to volunteer valuable information towards unraveling the cause of the collapse of a seven-story building in Banana Island. One of the things that will help the public to do this is for you to identify the owner of the building. Maybe somebody has had one or two dealings with him that could give you the information, but you still don't tell us who owns the building.
Is that even possible, though?
That what?
That the government cannot identify who owns the building.
It's impossible. The land has, somebody must have applied. You would have a CEO.
I'm trying to figure out the essence of that story. Like, help them to do what?
I don't understand. I don't understand, Jerry.
Help them to do what?
A panel. He said that a technical investigation committee has been set to unravel the cause. You will get the reason on site. The question is, who are you going to hold responsible for this? If you want people to help you, you must come with full facts. Maybe somebody sold somebody wrong cement by identifying that, oh, okay, so it is this man. He'll give you that information. But you still shield, there's still nothing about who owned that building. On First Avenue, 102 Close Banana Island. The statement signed by the chairman technical committee on the Banana Island building collapse, Wasu Olokunla, said the committee was mandated to determine the immediate and remote cause of the collapse, verify the appropriateness of the construction work on the site, determine the culpable parties. That can easily be done. You have the company, there's no need to set up a panel to identify. That's at the touch of a button. You have an architect, you have a QS, you have an engineer. They must be listed. Go grab them.
You said something that really struck a chord yesterday about a particular regulation that we may need to make it very compulsory. If you're going to have a building that is above some certain number of floors,
for now, yes,
then these are the companies that must.
The government should work in concert with professional bodies.
Right.
Okay. Then you register certain until we have a better place, you register certain
companies.
Because
we have a big problem right now.
We have a big problem. We are losing lives. And let me tell you, in recent times, if anybody says, oh, I'm looking for a flat, I tell him, just go for the old building. I don't trust these new buildings. Because sometimes these buildings will not go down until they've been completed and fully occupied. You understand? Imagine a 10-story building with lift complements, people, everything, and it just goes down. It's possible. The one that happened in Ikoyi could jolly well have gone down if it had been completed. You understand what I'm saying?
True.
So we must say that, look, for now, we have what we call category A, A whatever. Yeah. If you're going to go above two floors, this idea of direct labor construction for high-rise buildings should be completely discouraged.
Should be.
Completely.
I agree.
We should have zero tolerance for these things. But then again, what is the value of human life? I don't know. What's the value of your life? What would be yellow?
No, because all over here.
Let me take you to Libya or something to put you on the slave market.
Only they don't have the money.
They don't have the money.
They don't have the money. They cannot afford it.
Anybody who buys me is buying liability. You pay all my medical bills. Pay all my medical bills.
Okay, well, I have a message here from Partners 01 on YouTube. He says they also don't do checks with regards to the quality of materials used for these buildings. The officials are only interested in going around
Let me answer part one directly. We have enough regulations is the compromise that is the problem. And the fact that we don't name and shame the guilty ones, we shield them. That's what it is. There's enough. Bring the building code and everything. Bring everything. There is enough to protect us from this thing. But for as long as A, we don't enforce the law, there's compromise. And B, we don't name and shame. If in the past we had have one Chief Kokosari who was developing a 10-story building, lining up to eat beans in correctional center now, other people will sit up. The general thing in Lagos is that you can get away with anything. You look at the traffic, look at the environment. You know, yesterday I spoke about from Oyibo to...
Yes,
from
you did.
Idoto, Sheriff. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. A complete disaster. I don't know what is going on. I honestly can't put my finger on it. I don't know what is going on. Some people say that you're highly critical of the government. Yes! Because these things stare you in the eye. Look at the Oyibo bus stop. The design of that bus stop, of the auto bus stop, is the same design that was used one time in Dubai. Yes. Now, it's like a rubbish dump. It's like a rubbish dump.
It's quite unfortunate. Let's go take this editorial from the Punch. The editorial is election petitions, justice please, not technicalities.
This editorial, for those who are inclined to such things, I recommend you go find it and read it. I wish I had enough time, but we don't have that time. What they are talking about essentially is that the election petition should please focus more on justice than technicalities.
Mm.
Okay, because I think it was Candy Johnson that said once, it wasn't an interview with Channel, I'll never forget that interview, where he said that it is unfortunate that the will of the people at somewhere along the line is now determined by the courts. Okay. Look at here. They argue that Nigeria's excessive recourse to judicial intervention in elections is rooted primarily in two broad tendencies.
Mm.
One is the manipulation, violence, and untidy polling that accompanies candidate selection processes in the political parties, that's the primaries. The other interconnected one is the desperation of most politicians that makes them bad losers.
Mm.
Okay, they also talk about how corruption has infiltrated the judiciary. But listen to this paragraph, Sheriff.
Hmm.
Some Supreme Court judgments in election cases have eroded confidence in the judiciary. That is what the Punch believes.
Hmm.
Its enthronement of Hope Uzodinma, which INEC results had placed a distant fourth in the election as governor of Imo State, and the endorsement of Ahmad Lawan, the malleable Senate president, as his party's senatorial candidate for Yobe North, have, amongst others, hit the highest court image in public perception. Justification on the grounds of legal technicalities notwithstanding. In the case of Hope Uzodinma, he came forth, and believe you me, the person who came forth now became the governor. Are you looking at me? It's here in print.
Mm, okay. I'm listening to you.
The ICPC's Nigerian Corruption Index 2018 and 2020 rated the judiciary as most corrupt.
Mm.
The report claimed that about 9.45 billion naira was offered and paid as bribes by lawyers to judicial officers. This is the ICPC Corruption Index. It said six female judges reported being offered 3.7 billion and five male judges reported 392 million offers. The ICPC said the bribes demanded or offered were mostly linked to election matters. You know, always go to court. They admit, though, that judicial corruption is a global problem. The Geneva-based Center for the Independence of Judges and Lawyers survey of 48 countries found judicial corruption to be pervasive in 30 countries. Nigeria's situation is far worse than most. Okay, so they now say the CJ is conscious of public anxiety. Inaugurating the 307 judges to serve on election petition tribunals in November, he charged them to be professional, and the CJ has vowed not to condone any act of recklessness, abuse of power, and public trust. And he said the NJC should walk the talk.
Hmm.
And, I think that all frugal adults know the right thing to do, to be honest with you. Yes. Just like the editorial says, the will of the people should not completely be determined by courts. Otherwise, let's have people go to court and let the court declare who the president is so that we don't go through all these elections.
We don't start budgeting billions.
Budgeting billions and having all these Luca Brasis threatening everybody.
Mm.
You know who Luca Brasi is?
No.
Go and watch The Godfather.
Okay.
Luca Brasi.
So there has
some... Owe no one falashi.
Falashi. Falashi. Tinubu will surprise haters with performance. Campaign Council. This story is in the Daily Trust.
The Bayelsa coordinator of the Tinubu Shettima Campaign Council said that Tinubu surprised those opposed to his emergence with his performance after his swearing in on May 29. You see, we sometimes don't even know when to stop, and sometimes we don't know, we don't think deeply. Now, so if you support somebody, if you don't support somebody, you hate him. That's the narrative that is coming from somebody in the campaign council. It is the wrongest thought possible. This is what created problems for Buhari in his very first year, when from his own people, they were talking about haters and what was the other word?
Haters. Wailers.
Wailers and whatever. It's infantile. The fact that you don't support somebody doesn't mean you hate him. I don't know where, even in the social media, he hates him. What's wrong with you? You don't vote for people out of gratitude. If my father has paid my school fees from primary school up to university level and it's election time and I don't think he's suitable, I won't vote for him. It doesn't mean I don't like him or I'm not grateful. I had somebody calling, before I went on vacation, I think it was, talking about godfathers and how you should pay back. You're not paying back anybody. What should determine your vote is that you want somebody in that driver's seat to manage your life, as it were, for the next 4 years. And sometimes the person you love the most might not be suitable. We need to develop a completely new attitude. And I hope that nobody is going to be going into a new regime, as it were, with this idea of haters and wailers and all this infantile whatever. I don't support somebody. I don't. I support him. What do I want? I want somebody who's going to make my life good. QED. QED. I saw in the social media running down some people, he helped him in so and so. He made him. He did that. Why don't we just grow up and think reasonably? It's all rocket science in terms of thinking that you're going to vote a competent person. Okay, so for now, the man voted is this man. Let us encourage him. We have no choice. He's the driver of the vehicle. For as long as he's there, let us encourage him to hold down the ship until a final decision is made. And it's sad that this is coming from his campaign council. This man is now the incoming president of the whole of the country, not just his supporters.
True.
And I think we need to do that. Tinubu will have to be much more careful with those around him than with his opponent, because they are the ones who will create the crisis for him if care is not taken. And they don't start with that. Haters. There are no haters. There's nothing called haters. There are no haters. People either support him or they don't. It's their right to do so. It's their moral right to do so. And you support people, like I said. I can vote for somebody that I don't even talk to, that I don't have any good relationship with, for as long as I know. It's like employing somebody and insisting that he must greet you every morning. That's not why I employed him. If I have an employee, he's top notch and he doesn't greet me every morning, he walks past me, I don't care. Let him get the work done.
Right.
We need to develop that attitude. So let's knock this off our lingo. Haters, wailers, all these infantile things. These were the things that caused Buhari problem in the first instance and pitched people against him. When they started identifying some as wailers and haters, oh my God. Mm. There we go again, Sherry.
Indeed.
We can do without this.
Yeah, indeed. But quick one before we go. Who do you think should be Senate President, though? We're going to... They're having meetings after meetings. They can't seem to decide.
Sheriff, I will be very, very blunt. Very, very blunt. Do you know, as I'm sitting down, I don't even know those who are aspiring. Do you know why?
Why?
Some of the top names that I hear, and that's what puts me off. Some weeks ago, when I was hearing certain names, people were putting forward, names that you and I both know, you and I both know, are not part of even our first, you said first 11, second 11, even our junior team, under 17, in politics, in governance, we shouldn't be anywhere near there. And so when that happens, what do you want me to do? I lost interest. I lost complete interest. I couldn't, immediately the name started emerging, I said, oh my God,
is this the best we can do?
And let us truncate this discussion now before you now lead me into talking about the political future after May 29, you know, that's another thing on his part. I would have loved some kind of balance. I need to use the right word, but I leave you to imagine what I'm talking about. But I want some kind of balance at the hierarchy. But when I'm beginning to see same of same, I just lost interest. I just lost interest. I'm sorry. On this one, I have failed. I agree.
No, you have not.
I'm only human.
No, you've not failed. You've not. Let's leave it here then.
Why are you being polite? I failed. If I can't. You ask me a simple question and I can't answer it. But you failed me. Yeah.
No.
For what I said, what did I get?
You have not.
What percentage?
You have not. You have not.
What
failed.
Percentage will you give me for this?
You have not failed. You have not. The third option there is also correct.
Which third option?
Which is no answer.
No answer. Mm. No. I mean, when some names are emerging, I'm saying to myself, oh my God, when did my country now get to this point?
Yeah.
Just lost interest.
Let's go. Lagos, that's our show. Thank you so much, sir, for coming. Lagos, let's bring you the news. After the news, let's talk about post-infidelity stress disorder. It was something earlier at 5 a.m. when we had that conversation, but then experts, two of them, will be joining us now to break this down for us.
We all have that one friend that always hides everything from everyone else. Like my guy, Sheun, that got 1 gig free data when he downloaded my MTN NG app. Did he share the gist with us?
No!
But we found out.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.